thank you to our worship team and David, Nikki. I love it how when I'm sitting there listening, I'm seeing so many themes being tied in even before I stand up the front. And it makes me feel relieved. Maybe that's not the right word, but thankful that God's going ahead of me even before I stand here. So before we start, let's help me breathe and we'll just talk to God for a minute. Dear Father, dear Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for what has been shared. We thank you that you are here. We thank you for the words that you've given each one of us. We thank you that we can come together because a year ago, this was not a possibility. The year started and we were going down a different track, facing restrictions and lockdowns, and yet this morning we had the choice of coming together and being in your presence, and we thank you, Father. Amen. So, and this isn't part of my message. It's been one of those weeks when on Thursday, after I completed my sermon, I spilt my coffee on my computer. I wasn't going to share this. And I fried my computer and lost my data. And yes, it's just been one of those weeks. And yet I stood there and I was thankful for God that I could be here this morning. So I'm now going to share what I actually had to share. So on the 5th of March, I'll start again. So on the 5th of March, I attended a World Day of Prayer service at our local Anglican church. The gathering happens every year at different churches in Gisborne, and this year the focus was on the peoples of Vanuatu. Now, during this time, there were many things that caught my attention, but one was a statement shared by the guest speaker, and this was that over a period of 39 hours, the words that we were praying would be prayed by many people in many different countries. And today, it is the Sunday before Easter Sunday, and as Dave mentioned, it is known as Palm Sunday. Traditionally, this is a time when our focus is drawn to Jesus' victorious ride into Jerusalem, leading up to his death on the cross and resurrection. Now, I know here at Gisborne Church of Christ, we do not follow a formal preaching calendar. However, as this story will be reflected upon by many people in many different countries during this time, I thought it would be fitting for us to spend some time on this story as well. So, I'm assuming that this story is very familiar to many, but I could be wrong. I first heard of this story in my Sunday school days, but my memory of this story did not land on Jesus, but actually on the palm branches that are mentioned in John chapter 12, verse 13 in the NIV version. Now, this is strange, as I grew up in the Mallee, surrounded by Mallee scrub. Now, these trees did not have a single trunk, but they had multiple stems that came up from above or below the ground. And if I tried to remember if I'd seen a palm tree, it would be the odd one or two that could be found planted near very old homes. So maybe it was the uniqueness of the palm branches that caused them to form my clearest memory. Surprisingly, it was here, back with the kids on a Sunday morning, that I most recently heard this story being shared again. As over the school term, each Sunday, we have been exploring Jesus' journey, starting from his riding to Jerusalem until he died and his resurrection. Now, in our first week together with the kids, we had a coat throwing competition. The kids stood in a line and were given a coat, and I joined in, of course. Now, I took my coat and I did a few practice swings so I could get a good feel of the weight of my coat. And then on the count of three, I released it. Now, I must admit, I was not too bad at this contest. However, after attempt number two, I was gently reminded that since I was over the age of 13, I did not qualify for the position of number one coat thrower. A little disappointing, but I still had fun. Then, after this, we began to reenact the story. It was a few days' time leading up to the Passover festival, and we began laying our coats on the floor. We imagined that we were the crowd, the local residents and the travellers. Then we invited the kids to ask questions and wonder, what would it have been like to be part of the crowd, to be part of this celebration, to put our coats on a dirt road? Knowing that the donkey would not have been able to hold it all together all of the time, and there must have been some mess along the way. And what if it was your only coat? As it would have been most likely have been for most people, yet they still placed their coat on the ground. We explored how special they must have thought Jesus was. Now, during this morning with the kids, our reenactment stopped as Jesus reached Jerusalem. But this morning, we can continue to build a clearer picture of this scene. We know from writer reading that others in the crowd may have remembered that when one of Israel's famous old kings was proclaimed king in defiance of the existing one, his followers spread their coats or cloaks under his feet as a sign of royalty. And this can be found in 2 Kings 9:13. We know that when Jesus asked two of his disciples to fetch a donkey and a young colt for his ride into Jerusalem, he was fulfilling the prophecy found in Zechariah chapter 9. We know that the branches that were cut to line the road for Jesus. And we can read elsewhere of folk stories that had been handed down in Jerusalem and in surrounding villages, which told of Judas Maccabeus, a man who 200 years before had arrived in Jerusalem after conquering the pagan armies that had oppressed Israel. Maccabeus was welcomed into the city by a crowd waving palm branches, and he started a royal dynasty that lasted for over 100 years. And we know that the crowd shouted, welcoming Jesus as the Son of David, as he rode towards Jerusalem. The city which King David had made his capital 1,000 years before, and for nearly half that time the Jews had been waiting and praying for a king like David to arrive and save them from Roman oppression. And as we continue this journey, we know from reading in the Passion Translation this time, verse 10, as Jesus entered Jerusalem, the people went wild with excitement. The entire city was thrown into an uproar. Some asked, "Who is this man?" And the crowd shouted back, "This is Jesus. He's the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Yet we also know that others in Jerusalem were concerned. Jesus was to them unknown, an unknown countryman, little more than a foreigner from a remote northern province. And here is the question I would like to continue our focus on today. Who is this? Who is Jesus? At Gisborne Church of Christ, over the last 2 years, we've invited people to come along to an Alpha course, both in person and online, to ask questions such as, who is Jesus? And explore. And this morning I would like to share with you a snippet from an Alpha video.
What's the flight number?
Okay. We made it!
Yeah!
Thank you!
And of course, you know that you're going to be
He is arguably the most famous person in history. Over 2 billion people claim to follow him. That's 1/3 of the world's population. He's represented in art and literature more than any other figure. Time magazine called him the most influential person who has ever lived. But who is Jesus?
Who is
is Jesus?
I believe he was a person. He's the Son of God.
I don't believe Jesus ever really existed.
The Son of God?
If I have to answer that question, I would say God.
He plays on the wing for Chelsea.
If you read the Bible, I don't think I'd believe in all of that.
Everything. He can be any, but for me, he's everything.
Who is Jesus? To be honest with you, I don't know. I'm not super religious or anything, so. I mean, I guess he's a savior or something.
Personally, I think that Jesus was probably a really cool dude who lived a long time ago and gave great advice to people, and it snowballed from there.
So later in the year, we will be extending the invitation to all, regardless of background or beliefs, to step into this welcoming Alpha space, where the invitation is given to ask questions like, who is Jesus? And explore. But for us today, regardless if you've been in a relationship with Jesus for many, many years, or for a month, or you're still to meet Jesus, the question can still be asked, who is Jesus? And answers found in the Bible. It was only a week ago I was reminded of this question when reading Luke 22, verses 1 to 30, the Last Supper. And today, I know it sounds really, really simple, but I would like to encourage you to spend some time over this coming week in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and ask the question once again, who is Jesus? And explore. And in each of these four books, we can find a different account of today's story. Let us take the opportunity to be remembering together who we are focusing on this Easter time. Here I think back to my time with the kids on a Sunday morning when we pretended to be part of the crowd as Jesus rode by. The crowd was expecting a king that would rescue them from evil and oppression and bring peace at that moment in time. But we know that Jesus did not do what the crowd expected him to do, but so much more. So as we step into this new week, in our own personal time of reflection, we have the opportunity to ask the question, who is Jesus? But we also have the opportunity to follow Jesus' journey together during our Thursday night, one church prayer time, and in our Good Friday and Easter morning services, both in person and online. So on a Sunday morning with the kids, we always finish our time together talking with Jesus. And even though we meet in the one room, we break into small groups. And I always find myself sitting on the carpet with the youngest in the group. And it's here that we share, what would we like to talk to Jesus about? What did we want to tell him that was happening in our week? And I would share that we could talk to God with our eyes open or closed. And that was really a good, it was a really good thing, especially if you were driving. So to finish our time together, I would like us to talk to Jesus. So please join me in prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your unconditional love that you have for each one of us. We thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. Not neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future or any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation can separate us from your love. Amen. And thank you.